Reminded any of you, just as a reminder, that the effect of this week, the final piece of our ethics reform package took effect, and those who seek to influence executive branch decisions, rulemaking, or contracts are required to register that, and so that the public and journalistic community can know who is being paid to do what. And we know that that will be respected by those involved. We just want to make sure everybody is well aware, and offices around the building will have a notice to help make sure no one overlooks that new responsibility. We're releasing revenue numbers for the first half of the year today. They are almost precisely what was originally forecast in the budget. That budget, you may recall, then forecast a first year shortfall of about $131 million, to be more than made up in year two. As you know, we are seeking to balance the budget as fast as possible, maybe even in this first fiscal year. But that simply underscores the fact that revenue is actually just a trifle below what was originally predicted. It means that we'll have to do that on the spending side. We're working very hard on that. This is just a reminder that we at the moment don't have any favorable windage in terms of new revenue. I'm, of course, setting aside here the surplus from the tax amnesty program. The other comment I would make about the revenue numbers that we've seen is that, again, for the fifth straight quarter, revenues from gambling of various kinds, including the lottery, are below what was estimated for them. And this just serves as a reminder that this is an unpredictable and potentially unstable source of revenue, not one we want to become more dependent on in this state. And lastly, the IEDC is issuing a summary of its activity for the year. I think a good first year. It's got to get much better. But they did close more competitive transactions. Those are ones in which Indiana is contesting with at least one other state for a new investment. And they did complete successfully more of those than in the two previous years combined. So that heads in the right direction. There are 55,000 more Hoosiers employed today than a year ago, but we've got a long way to go. And as I always say, it's not just jobs we're interested in, but better paying jobs and more diverse set of jobs, and that's going to be a long-term project. Questions?
So what's been any of your cuts that are still fighting with a shortfall?
Well, we're asking every department to, with a couple of exceptions, to operate at least 7% less than was budgeted, and most are succeeding in doing that. There's been a long string of reforms, some quite small and some larger. Contracts that have been rewritten, certain services that have been competed out that are saving millions of dollars. But we simply attack it on every front. No savings at tax dollars is too small for us.
State Senate Democrats have called for the creation of all-day kindergarten phase-in programs to begin immediately, and they've suggested using money from the tax amnesty program. Might that be acceptable in any way?
Well, their heart's in the right place, and I also believe that we ought to add all-day kindergarten when it's financially possible. I do think it would be a mistake to take one-time money and commit the state to an expensive new program before we're in position to do it. But I endorse their idea in principle, as I always have, and the reason we are in such a rush to balance the budget of the state quicker than anyone thought possible is precisely so that we can then contemplate new commitments like all-day kindergarten.
One of the other things they said about full-day kindergarten.
Is that your position?
My view is it probably will have to. This is a $125 to $150 million program in its first year, and I'm in as big a hurry as anybody else, but we've got to dig out of the hole first. We've got debts to repay, including to schools. And I think that this is a good idea that's probably still a year away.
Thank you. their plan actually wouldn't put it in, it would put it into the next biennium. It wouldn't be this biennium, it would be the next biennium. And they, their contention is that if you start to put it into place, then you'll find a way to pay for it. That you make a priority out of it, and then you make the budget work around it.
Well, we'll take a look. I mean, they didn't find a way to pay for it in years of promising. In fact, we wound up, as I say, in a very deep hole. But we agree on the concept. And I think we ought to have a good constructive conversation about the financially responsible timing. But they're raising a good idea, one that I've been for openly now for 2 or 3 years.
You were giving your State of the State speech on Tuesday night. Is it written? And what?
Yeah.
Are there going to be any surprises in it?
Wouldn't be much of a surprise if I told you today. Well, I wrote it over Thanksgiving. I'm in a good mood about that because I got my term paper, some term papers, including some op-eds written. Basically, at that time, I'm still tinkering, of course, but the basic outlines, I think, we're already very clear about. I'll certainly mention the three big programs that I hope this session, although it is the short session, we'll deal with, and that's the major moves, jobs program, the dollars for the classroom reform, which I'm very optimistic about. I don't want to speak for them, but I it's my impression that the Democratic Party is going to take a very constructive approach toward that. And local government modernization, those will all come in for some discussion, among other items.
What kind of grade should leaders give you on your time for your term paper?
Well, I don't grade my own papers, and I don't believe in grade inflation. I hope the speech is, it uses plain English, as I tried to do. I think it deals with important subjects. I'm going to make sure, in deference to our esteemed broadcasting community, that it's short enough to fit inside a half-hour window. But I'll leave the grades to others.
Will you talk about telecommunications reform?
I expect to, at least briefly.
Have you had a chance to look at the Senate Republicans' bill that would get at telephone deregulation, cable television, mm-hmm. the changes in how cable television is?
Yes, we've been working quite closely with them and with others who are interested in this subject, and I think that bill heads in the right direction. A regulatory approach grew up in the age of telephone poles and above-ground wires what were thought of as natural monopolies. It's just not suited to the today's exciting world of exploding technologies and new inventions, multiple choices and options. And so we do need a new, I think, scheme that is conducive to it. And I think their bill certainly has a lot of features that I agree with, and we're going to work with them closely to try to shape it.
Governor, aren't you going to St. Joe and Elkhart County tomorrow?
I'm going tonight, late this afternoon, going to Lake and Porter County tonight, and then, yes, to St. Joe and Elkhart County tomorrow. Talk about roads and rail and airports and jobs.
What about time?
I'm leaving about 5. Oh, you meant something else.
Do you hope you try to get them on board with the same time request?
I don't think there's anything new to say. If asked, I'll repeat the arguments for daylight saving time, which was, I think, a step worth doing. One of many we've tried to undertake that might make for a stronger economy in the future. And I'm as eager as they are for a final answer on their petition, at least some counties' petitions, to change time zones, which is their right. It's the right of every county in the state, I'm sorry, in the country. Every county in America can ask for that anytime it wants to, and a couple counties that have chose to. I think they'll hear an answer very soon.
Governor, you mentioned local government modernization in your state of the state address. Representative Hinkle basically said the mayor's proposal for IndyWorks Part 2 is pretty much dead on arrival. What does it say that one of the largest county, you know, city in Indiana can't, you know, fix its own government or whatever. What does that say for local government modernization in other places?
It says we have two top-down a system. As I've said so often, I believe in home rule and local autonomy. I believe we ought to commit and encourage local governments of all sizes and kinds, including school governments, to reform themselves and be able to spend their money and taxpayers' money better. And so I believe that the city of Indianapolis ought to have the right to make those changes, just as any other community should. And the proposal that I want to make would make that much easier to accomplish.
The Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute was sort of blistering in their assessment of how assessments are done, and mm-hmm. said that we should get rid of township assessors and trustee assessors. Are you going to call for that in your speech?
Well, I'm not going to give the speech today, but I will just say that they were right. It's intolerable that essentially identical properties not far apart often are taxed at very different rates. And the longer this problem was supposed to have been fixed some time ago, it hasn't been. And so we'll put it on the list of things that need to be addressed. And we need equity, and we also, I think, waste a lot of money in the way that we have historically assessed property.
But should they be limited to use the township assessors or township trustees?
Maybe.
The Hearst Company and the Stadium Authority continue to go back and forth about the state of that 4 acre or how many ever parcel near the stadium, and it's become very public. You've stepped in on stadium issues before. Would you consider intervening in this manner, or have you?
Well, I haven't.
Would you?
Oh, I doubt it. I hope and I believe they're very likely to work this out, and I don't know much more about it than you do, but I think the authority is trying to deliver to the city the plan that it was drawn up. There may be some alternative way to do it. And I'd be personally pleased if the company, if they want to stay there, if there was a way found for them to, and just the things I read in the newspaper make it sound like there might be a compromise possible.
Governor, did you monitor the situation involving prayer in the House yesterday, and are you afraid that this issue could overshadow other work that needs to be done?
Well, I pay attention as any interested citizen might. I don't really think that that's going to happen. I think the most important, or one important debate of this General Assembly has already been resolved satisfactorily, and that is, what kind of session should it be? And I have been arguing it for a couple of months that it may be a short session, but it shouldn't be a silent session. It should be a very active one. And I was very encouraged by both the private meetings I had yesterday with leaders of both parties and with their public posture as they all arrived. They're ready to work hard and be as productive in this shorter session as they were in the historic one of 2005.
Governor, looking back on to the telecom question, what is it that you think is in that legislation that would help rural areas to actually end up with more choices, more broadband? What triggers that kind of development?
Well, it's a little too soon for me to comment on specific elements, but I'm certainly interested in the investment incentives that are there that might say to any interested competitor that now's a good time and an advantaged time to start extending services out there now.
Well, Governor, there is a lot of broadband infrastructure in the state that's not being used, and partly because the providers don't want to provide it to users in the format or the cost that the users are interested in. So do we need more incentives for additional infrastructure, or do we need to bring the providers more in line with the demand side?
Well, if additional infrastructure is needed, then no one will use the incentives, but that doesn't make them a bad idea, because there are places, at least believe, they are have still not been reached. I think the new wireless modes in particular offer a lot of hope to places that are not yet fully connected to the internet world. And with regard to the other questions, I guess I would simply observe that where we have shortcomings, just proves to me that the regulatory structure designed for a very, very different age and technologies that are now long gone or antique is not good enough for the day.
How tied is the success of the IndyWorks bill to your own local government reorganization plans? If they won't buy that, why would they want to give it to 91 other counties?
You'll have to address that question to others. I spoke with the mayor yesterday, as I have frequently, about both the general subject. He's head of the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns this year, as you know, and also about his own specific objectives for Indianapolis, and I wish them well. My sense is that these are two different subjects, that those who are at present not supporting his bill are doing this for local reasons as opposed to reasons that affect the whole state.
Governor, in the IEDC's final report card, overall there was improvement over the former department, but the Northwest region did very poorly. Is there a reason for that, or do you make something of that?
Well, I look very close at this. I'm not sure, first of all, that it's how useful it is simply to look at dollars of incentives compared to population. It may or may not really tell us about the level of focus or even success that they're bringing. But let me just say that I did look at all that. You had three areas that, if that is a useful measure, it's a question. The three areas of the state, the north central, the northeast, and the southeast, which had more dollars, a bigger share of dollars than their population. And you had three areas, the northwest, the southwest, and the Indianapolis area, the central area, that had less. Again, I'm not sure that that's really the way to measure it. We're learning about this as we build this new jobs engine. I'm very interested in the quality of the jobs which these incentives bring about, as we were discussing earlier. And so I think you'd probably have to go a couple levels deeper to know whether a given area is...
So does that mean the quality employers don't want to come to Northwest Indiana?
I don't think it means that at all. I'm not sure that it means anything right at the moment. I'll say what I've said so often. I think that the Northwest corner is one of the most promising areas in the state for investment. I think we have to do some things to turn that loose. That's why we created the RDA after 30 years of people talking about it. That's why I'm so committed to the Major Moves program, the enormous, disproportionate impact of which would be on the toll corridor, including Northwest Indiana. So it won't happen automatically. And the IEDC, whether you're talking about the Northwest or any other part of the state, is not the sole answer. It can never be. I want the best jobs hunters in America working for Indiana, but there are many bigger things that we have to do. Build the best sandbox, have the best infrastructure, and so forth.
What evaluation have you done of the first year in terms of what quality of jobs were brought in?
Well, we looked very closely as a board at the dollars of investment, which can be a rough proxy for how high value the jobs are going to be, and that generally tells you about what they're going to pay and so forth. We certainly look at the average pay per job, which has been going up, and the dollars invested was way up. So those are promising signs, but once again, we got so far to go, and again, no matter how great a job the IEDC does, it's still operating at the edges of an economy with 6 million people and 3.5 million employed and hundreds of billions of dollars of income.
Are you satisfied? No, is this where you expected to be heading into your second year as governor? The achievement, the financial situation in the state, the jobs created, is this what you expected after 1 year or not?
Well, you started to ask if I'm satisfied. That's the easy answer. No, never. The day that we think we're satisfied, that's the time that the citizens should go find somebody else. In terms of expectations, I would say that we're ahead in at least two dimensions. I wouldn't have necessarily expected that we could make as much progress out of bankruptcy, state bankruptcy, and toward a balanced budget as I think we've made. And frankly, I think we've had more success, I always say, weeding the garden of state government than I might have thought. Just reforms in every department, changes, and lots of dollars saved. But there are all kinds of places where we're not close to being satisfied. Read our performance report, see the metrics. You'll see that almost in no case are we at the green level, and in many cases we haven't even gotten to yellow yet. So, tons of work to do.
Your office sent out a little fact about it. I want to say this week about petty cash and state government, mm-hmm. and apparently there's millions of dollars that have been running around, but nobody's really keeping track of it.
Well, it's just one of those little things. I mean, that's a little. $57 million that we know of, we found in various petty cash accounts. No way, almost never a system for keeping track of it. You know, separately, I know the BMV on any given night had an enormous amount of money sitting in unlocked cash drawers, which has all been dealt with. But in a budget of close to $12 billion, this is a small percentage, but again, no item is too small to look at when you're trying to give the citizens of this state the best-run government in America, and when your goal is to never, ever waste even a single tax dollar.
Governor Troy Woodruff is going to file or has filed a bill that would make abortion illegal. Do you have thoughts on that? He seems to think that with the changes in the court, that a challenge to it could reach the court and be overruled. What would you raise?
I hadn't heard about his bill.
Do you have any ideas on it?
I'd want to talk to our general counsel and others, and my sense is it would have a very limited prospect of ultimate success.
Is it worth? He has said that some may have to take it back up to the Supreme Court if he has a new makeup or rule on it. Is it worth in the end to spend the dollars to be the one to pay the bill?
Well, I'm a supporter of the right to life and always have been, but I think you asked a very good question as to whether this would really be have any prospect of success and whether any time and money spent on it would lead us anywhere. And ultimately, for this change, I think first the heart of the country and maybe ultimately the view the courts take of states' rights to place some limits on abortion would have to evolve. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
You guys didn't have any questions.